Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now, bear with me because I know I say this a pretty fair amount, but this is without question one of my all-time favorite episodes thus far. I spoke with Inner Circle member Alex. She's so kind, very smart, very resilient. She has really amazing insight into both nutrition and strength training. We talk about rapid fat loss. We talk about Olympic lifting. We talk about powerlifting. And I gave her a challenge. And I won't give you all the details of it, but basically, if she hits a certain goal with her deadlift and her squat over the next 3 months, I'm going to give her one free year in the Inner Circle. So it was a great discussion. I'm very excited for you to listen to it. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Let's get into it. Alex?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Amazing. Alex, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to talk to you. This is great.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is awesome. And did you say you're in Germany?
I'm in the Netherlands right now.
Netherlands. Got it. Okay. Got it. Amazing. And what time is it there?
It's 9 p.m.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to get on the phone with me and have a discussion. I'm really excited about this. So thank you.
Yeah.
So before we dive in, just give me a little bit of background. I know I saw all the emails and read everything, but just give me some background. I just want to get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So as I said, I'm located in the Netherlands right now, in Amsterdam to be exact. And I'm doing my PhD. So this whole corona crisis thing hasn't actually affected me that much. Like, my work is pretty theoretical. So I can just work from home, basically. And I also ordered like some gym stuff so I can also work out as usual. So I'm definitely not more stressed now than I was before the crisis.
That's amazing. That's a huge blessing. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Is Amsterdam shut down otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, there are restrictions, but I think they're not as severe as in the U.S.,
Got it. Okay.
So, people are moving around more, and also people are, I think, a bit more relaxed than in the States. So,
makes total sense. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. It's just a bit. So I live basically all by myself in like a tiny studio apartment. So I almost have no contact with like any person like in real life. So that's challenging. But like other than that, I'm actually doing fine.
Incredible. Good. That's awesome. So talk to me. How can I help? What do you want to chat about?
Yeah. So actually what I wanted to chat about is like this topic of willful suffering, like this one podcast episode that you uploaded. And also on your Instagram and stuff, you're always talking about, you know, doing things that are hard and challenging, but like in the end will make you proud.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk a little bit about that with regards to nutrition and also my training, because for me, usually, so I can handle being like on a diet for like a consistent period of time. So it's not that I'm slacking up or that I binge eat or that I overly restrict. It's just that I also don't want to put myself in like a stage where it's actually challenging. So I've done diets before in my past, but I always like upped basically my calories to the point where I didn't feel hungry, which meant that, you know, like I was like maintaining now my weight for like 3 years or so. And it's just that I have like a really big, you know, sort of anxiety about like doing stuff that is really challenging and that I know will kind of hurt, basically.
Okay.
And I thought like during this quarantine time is a good time to like work on these, you know, like sort of anxiety issues, because like also everything is pretty controlled. There are like no social gatherings or something like that. So that's why I joined the calorie cycling challenge that you did. And I managed to do that, which I'm super proud. Like I also adhere to like the calorie goal and stuff. And now I'm doing the Unicorn Strong Challenge. I'm like 2 weeks in now. So,
How's it going?
Yeah. It's going well. So like I'm still like in this 80% consistency. like yeah. for like nutrition and training and protein and stuff. And it's going better than I thought. I just thought, so like I had a lot of anxiety about starting the calorie cycling challenge, not because I was afraid of like the high days, but because I was afraid of the lower days. I was like, yeah, it's just physically impossible to eat that little calories and survive for more than one day, basically. And then I did it and I was successful and it wasn't that hard after all. But like before I started the Unicorn Strong Challenge, I had like the same thoughts and like the same intensity. I was like, it's impossible to do that. It's like such a low amount of calories, even though it didn't really change from the calorie cycling challenge, mm-hmm. that I would just like to hear your thoughts about that, that, you know, when people are like sort of anxious to challenge themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, first and foremost, it sounds like you did it, right? It sounds like
yeah.
even though it was super scary. And actually, how low were your calories? What were your calories on that?
Yeah, so for the calorie cycling challenge, my high days were 2,000. So that was basically what I was eating on a regular basis anyway. And then my low days were 1,500.
Got it. Okay. And you were yeah. like, 1,500, I'm going to be starving. Like, is that what you were worried about?
Yeah, exactly. I remember like my first low day, you know, I was like having my breakfast with like a little bit less nuts than I used to. And then I was just like sitting there like, okay, I think I'm going to die today. This is just impossible. Yeah. So I was also really, because I'm following you for a while now and I wanted to join like your first calorie cycling challenge, like the one that you did in January, I think. And then I looked at from your calorie calculator, like my target calories. And I was like, yeah, that's just impossible. It's like no human being can eat such a small amount. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like it was every day. It was just several days a week. You would eat 1,500 and the other several, you eat 2,000. You're like, there's just no way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But you ended up doing it, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
Let me ask you this. What motivated you to decide to do it? Like what happened where you were like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think I'm just like fed up with this attitude that I'm like, okay, you know, it's like impossible for me to lose weight. And, you know, there's like no other way for me to lose weight than like being basically at maintenance and mm-hmm. hoping to get like the 2 pounds down that I gained from Christmas over the entire year. And I was like, yeah, that's ridiculous. It doesn't get me any closer to my fitness goals. And then I think it was for me also the reason for the lockdown, because I was like, now is the time where, at least for me, because I still get like my income and stuff, that I have like everything in my social life under control, because I'm also living by myself. I was like, okay, now or never. I'm like not really that stressed and I can really like tackle like some of the issues that I'm having.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
that's perfect. So Were you nervous? Were you scared? Like what was going through your head? Or were you nervous or scared, or were you more determined? Like, you know what? Like enough is enough.
I think I was kind of both at the same time. So like, no, I think I was first excited when I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. So basically I signed up for your program. I was super excited. But then like the days leading up to the challenge, I was like, holy shit. I'm not sure if that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just so scared. But, you know, before that, I was also not eating like super high calories, like 2000, 2100. But then I was like, fuck, now it's going to be a low day soon. I don't know how I can handle this. So, yeah, I guess it was a mix of both.
And so, I mean, for me, it looks as though you do it, like you see a challenge. And then maybe you coddle yourself, you give yourself reasons or justifications not to do it until you reach a point and you're like, all right, this is ridiculous. Like I'm going to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
You said you're in a PhD program right now.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous going into that or to apply for that? Or to, was that just like, no, that's my trajectory. I'm doing that. There was never worries or fears associated with that.
Yeah, for my PhD, I think I have a little bit more like self-confidence in my skills. So I didn't had like a lot of doubts. I had, I got a bit anxious for like the first paper that I published. I was like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to write a like real paper and, you know, like get it out there. So there I had like sort of the same kind of thought pattern. But that basically went away. But it was never, I think, that severe as like with my diet goals, because, you know, I have like this idea of my goal target weight, you know, for like 10 years already, and I never reached it. So I'm like, you know, it's like impossible for me to ever reach that goal.
Got it. So there's a lot more. I'm going to phrase this, and if I'm wrong, tell me. It seems as though with your PhD, you know that you're going to succeed. Like, you know, without question, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Even, but with fitness, you don't fully believe yet that that could actually happen. So there's more fear associated with it. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, I mean, you ask your clients sometimes, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident they are. And I would like not give you like a 7 or higher on that, you know, like, which also gives me anxiety, because, you know, like, if that's like one of the factors that will make you succeed less, you know, and that I get into this anxiety spiral also. But yeah.
So the good news is this, based on everything you've told me, I already know you're going to succeed based on everything you've already said. And I can like see the smile coming in already, which is great. It just, because you've already made a habit of doing. So let me ask you this. Since the calorie cycling challenge, since Unicorn Strong, have you noticed any trend now more towards your goal?
Yeah, definitely. So like, it's not that I lost a ton of weight, but I tracked my weight for 1 year now, and you can basically, you know, see like spikes up and down, but basically like all in the same like 1 kilo range. Yeah. And then since I started the challenge, it's actually going down, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Is it easier than you thought to have some lower calorie days in your nutrition, in your diet?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Talk to me about that. What's easier than you expected it to be?
So I feel like, so before, you know, I have like my set time for my breakfast, lunch and dinner. And I usually also have like 2 snacks in between. But for like the low calorie days, because it's just 1500, I basically stick to like 3 bigger meals and I have to like skip the snacks. And I thought it's just, you know, impossible to bridge like a 3 hour time gap in the morning without having like, I don't know, a protein bar or something. And I feel like, you know, because I made the decision, okay, this is going to be a low calorie day, that it's, I can sort of like zoom out this thought that I need to like have a snack now. And during the high calorie days, it's like actually harder for me, because I'm like, okay, I know that there's like some calories available for snacks. So I'm like more constantly thinking about it.
Isn't that interesting how it works?
Yeah.
That is the quintessence of the bright line strategy that you've probably heard me talk about, where it's like when you make a bright line that you either do or you do not, it becomes much easier, because for you, for the lower calorie days, you said, cool, I will not have snacks. Done.
Because, yeah.
But when you have the option available, now it's like, well, should I have it? Should I not have it? I want it. When am I going to have it? What should I have? Like, you have so many thoughts.
Yeah.
Go with it. I'm honestly, I have to be very candid with you. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with you. There isn't a single doubt in my mind that you will succeed. Number one, I mean, you were stagnant. You were maintaining for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And you were nervous to do it, but you've since done it. You're seeing a downward trend. I mean, I think you are living proof. You are exemplifying exactly what it means to take the actions that will make yourself proud, to embody willful suffering in a way that doesn't mean you're causing pain or harm to yourself. Sort of like I spoke about in the willful suffering episode.
Yeah.
It's not causing harm to yourself. It's taking something that has a lot of meaning to you, and even though it, and maybe even not even though, but maybe especially because it scares you, trying it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I know you said you wanted to know like maybe my thoughts or how to do it, but I mean, I think you do it. I think you live it just based on everything you've said. Like, it's so, you might, we're always our own harshest critic, right? We often underestimate our own capabilities. We don't give ourselves enough credit. most people, and I mean this, so please, like, understand, most people, if they don't believe in themselves, they don't try.
Yeah.
You, even though you might have been below a 7 on that scale of 1 to 10, you still tried. That is a quality that can be learned. That is a quality specifically that will increase your self-efficacy. Because there are so many ways to increase self-efficacy, right? It's one of the ways is to track your progress, right? And when you see right now that you're going down for the first time in however long, you're like, oh my God, I'm doing it. And then goes up.
Yeah.
That's how it works. The key here, the key to really believing in yourself, the key to doing what needs to be done is starting. It's just starting. And even and especially when you're like, this is impossible, it's not going to work, try it. Because worst comes to worst, literally the worst case scenario is you're right. But at least you tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best case scenario is you're wrong.
Yeah.
And you come up with strategies and you try it. No one has ever in the history of ever regretted trying anything. I mean, unless like they tried, I don't know, unless they tried binge drinking and then that ended really poorly. That's probably not a good thing to try, but going out on a limb, applying for a job, trying, this is one of the reasons why I remember I made a video on this once and I got a lot of kickback for it, but I still very much stand by it. I made a video basically talking about why I'll never tell someone not to try keto. Because even though I think for the vast majority of people, it's completely and utterly unsustainable and unenjoyable, especially if you enjoy carbohydrates with everybody loves carbs. You learn from doing it. You learn from them always. And I'm just very impressed with you. I truly am. I'm very deeply impressed with, even though you're scared, and especially when you're scared, you still tried it. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make this bright line. I'm not going to have a snack. See how it goes. You're crushing it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks. But it's also, so exactly the starting is so hard because, I mean, I've done like diets in the past also with like calorie goals and stuff. And then even before I start, I was like, okay, this is like, this target is too low. I have to up it. And then basically, you know, I was consistent with that, but then I also didn't make any progress. And I also, you know, when I started the Unicorn Strong, because there's like this one wiggle room where it's like, should you do the rapid fat loss week or not? And I was like, oh shit, should I do it? Should I not? Like, should I do it because it's challenging? You know, it's not that I want to lose like 10 kilos in this one week, but just like, should I do it because it's challenging or not? And then it was also such a major cause of stress. And I was like, I don't know, like how to decide now.
So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I've actually never spoken about this. I'm very excited to have this discussion with you because I've never had this discussion with anyone. I think a valid question someone could possibly ask me is why would I include the option of rapid fat loss in Unicorn Strong at the very beginning? And candidly, it's not that rapid. It's not like that drastic. I mean, but it is a rapid fat loss option. Why would I do that? I think it's a very important question. And as there's two parts of me, the one part of me says, no, don't include it ever because generally speaking, it's not a good idea. Definitely not for people with disordered eating habits, which I always say, like clearly in there, if you struggle with disordered eating, binge eating, do not do this.
Yeah. But
as a teacher, I know people learn from doing. And people grow in confidence when they are given the decision, when they can make their own choice. It's why I don't give out meal plans. I don't say, hey, eat this food at this time. Because when I just say, hey, do this, it seems great. But you don't learn. You don't learn at all. I've just given you a fish. I haven't taught you how to fish. When I give the option of this or that, my goal is severalfold. Number one is I want someone to really think about the choice they're about to make. They just joined the inner circle. They know my stance on that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Are they going to go with the emotional choice of, okay, I'm going to do the rapid fat loss because like I want to lose weight fast, even though they probably know they shouldn't? Or am I going to choose the more sustainable, slower option? And the best part about it is they always learn regardless of whatever they choose. If they choose the rapid fat loss, they're going to learn. And some people have done it and they've done well with it. Most people, they try it and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go with the sustainable. Never mind. Which is like, that's because if I had just said, don't do rapid fat loss, only do this, they'd be like, screw you, guy. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
But when they try it, see how difficult it is, they're like, huh, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to go slow and steady. They chose that.
Yeah.
That's their decision. They're an adult and they made that choice. It's a way better teaching tool. And when you can, as a teacher, structure failure, right? When you can keep failure in sort of like a bowling ball, right? When you have the bumpers on either side, the bowling ball, it doesn't go in the gutter. When you can put the bumpers up to keep people bouncing within the realm of failure, so you can sort of guide their failure.
Yeah.
Then they can get to success on their own terms. And that's why I put that in there. Because if they choose slow and steady, great. That's probably the better long-term option. If they choose rapid fat loss and they see great results, awesome. If they choose rapid fat loss and they realize that's not their best bet, cool. Now they know exactly what to do. And either way, they're learning. They're within the bounds that I want them to be. So that makes total sense. And I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I think it's any coach should be able to withstand not only criticism, but they should be able, when a client asks me, why did you do this? Any coach, you should be able to answer immediately why that exercise, why the sets, why the reps, why the calories, why the protein, why the rest periods, everything should be deliberate. If any coach is just like, just throwing stuff out there and they don't have a reason for everything, that's a serious problem. And I know that's a huge tangent away from what you were discussing, but I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think it's a really important part of my thought process as a coach.
Yeah. So like I ended up deciding to go with the rapid fat loss for the challenge. And for me, it was like really interesting, just because before that I was eating 1500 calories and at the rapid fat loss week, it was 1200. And then I just realized like how much difference 300 calories can make on like your mood and your energy levels. Like, first of all, I was like super proud that I even, so I went higher on two of the days, so I couldn't do the seven days straight, but I didn't binge when I went over. Like, I made like one rapid fat loss day into a low calorie day. So that was already something that I thought, you know, would be impossible, because like, we're always talking about restricting and binging. So I was like, fuck, if I'm going to do this and I feel like I have to eat more, then I'm going to eat everything. But it didn't happen. And also now I value like this 300 calories that I have more, like much more. It's like really a difference between I'm even tired to go out for like a long walk to like, oh, actually I can do my weightlifting training and it's not that bad. So, yeah.
The perspective, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So true. Such a good point. I absolutely love that point. And what I think about is when someone tries rapid fat loss, and I have to say this again just because it is important, no one who's struggling with disordered eating should be trying rapid fat loss. But when someone does it and they have to eat very few calories and they're like, all right, I got to stay as full as I can on these few calories, what do? They always start looking for foods that are low in calories but very filling.
Yeah.
In other words, they start researching.
Yeah.
They are researching and studying and looking and what foods fill you up for fewer calories. They do the things that most people avoid. Most people are just like, tell me what to eat. Just tell me what to do. And they don't ever actually take initiative to find it. When someone goes through a rapid fat loss phase, even if that phase doesn't get them to their goal, which it won't. Rapid fat loss alone will never get you to your goal unless you're a competitor in a weight-controlled sport and you're trying to lose weight just for one specific weigh-in, but that's not long-term success. It's short-term. When someone goes through that, on the other end, they are always a way better sustainable dieter, because now they know what foods fill them up for fewer calories. They've done more research. They know, generally speaking, how to fit more fruits and vegetables in their diet, how to get more protein in for fewer calories. They've become a more intelligent dieter through that process. And even though it might have been a short-term failure, it's a long-term win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, and I'll talk to you all day. I'll stay on here for hours. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about in relation to your nutrition or training or any of that? I'm not sure if I've covered exactly what you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, I think for the nutrition, definitely. So basically, I just realized that I have like this, you know, repeated anxieties of doing things. And basically, I decided now that I'm going to do this Unicorn Strong Challenge, the 90 days, and I try to be 80% consistent. And afterwards, I'm going to go into a maintenance no matter what. So I think that's also a nice bright line, because I think I'm not going to like reach like my goal body weight by that end, but I also don't want to like extend it and then, you know, like up my calories to make it more sustainable, and then I don't make any progress anymore.
I couldn't agree more. Like, there's literally nothing for me to add other than that's perfect. You do it 90 days, 80% consistent, and then when that's over, maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. And the cool part about that is most people never stick to something 80% consistent or more for 90 days straight. Like, that's just not how it works. Most people do not do that. They think they do.
Mm-hmm.
They actually track their progress and they're like, wow, I've actually been 40% consistent and I thought I was 80% consistent. So
yeah.
There's no way around it. 80% consistent for 90 days, you're going to make a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
You go into maintenance. And that's a perfect bright line. I couldn't agree with that anymore. It's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And are you going to use the maintenance manual in the Inner Circle?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You're doing everything perfect. Like, there's nothing for me to say other than you're crushing it.
Thanks. So I kind of have like the same kind of thought pattern also when it comes to my training. So I'm like, I like discovered like the fitness for myself maybe like 6 years ago or so. So since then, like I started with like this standard like bodybuilding workouts and pro splits, splits and stuff like that. So things since 6 years, I'm like in the gym for like 3 or 4 days a week pretty consistently, and I really like it. At some point I got really sick of like bodybuilding exercises, because first of all, I wasn't like pushing myself super hard that I get amazing results. But also like just doing like sports to look better but not actually get fitter, I thought it was at some point a bit stupid. So then I stopped that. And right now, so since a year, I'm doing like actual sports. So I started playing soccer, and I'm also doing Olympic weightlifting for strength.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I also realized that I haven't really like so in all of this time, I haven't really improved my strength a lot. So it's not that, you know, I cannot squat anything at all, but it's like not something like a weight that I can like brag about or like be super proud of. Mm-hmm. And so basically there comes back this thought pattern of like, I'm scared to go heavier, and also the belief of like, it's physically impossible for me to like, I don't know, like add 10 kilos to my weight or something like that. And also I don't really have a really good intuition about, you know, what's even possible. Like I asked this sort of question already once in your Q&A of like what like good strength goals would be. And maybe I wanted to dive in a bit deeper about that for like squats and deadlifts and maybe like a push-up sort of goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talking, what's your favorite lift? We'll go with that.
So since I'm doing Olympic weightlifting, I really like snatches, but mm-hmm. there, my focus is more improving my technique than really go up in my weight. And from like the powerlifting lifts, I think I like deadlifts and squats the best.
Amazing.
So like, yeah.
And those have the most carryover to the Olympic lifts anyway.
Yeah.
So what is your best deadlift? I'm going to use my calculator, by the way.
Yeah, I also have it like converted into pounds.
Oh, amazing. I was going to do that, but you're amazing.
So first of all, I have to say like these maxes are only for like free repetition. I don't want to, if I'm alone at home without like safety or spotters, I don't want to like max out. So it's like for free reps. And I also only discovered this like my maximum within the last weeks, because I was like, this is ridiculous. I want to improve my strength now. So anyway, so my max deadlift is 132 pounds right now.
Okay.
And my squat is 120 pounds.
And these are for three?
Yeah.
And these were done in your home alone? Okay. So I'll tell you this. First and foremost, those are not your maxes. Because when you're home alone, there's actually a scientific name for this. Like, I'm not even joking. There's a name for your, they call it your maximum, and they call it your maximum maximorum. I know it sounds like a Harry Potter spell, but it's real. Yeah. You can look it up in the Science and Practice of Strength Training by Zat Ziorski. The amount of Russian literature that I used to read in regard to strength and conditioning is insane. They have the maximum and the maximum maximorum. Guarantee you. Guarantee. It's sort of like, I think a good way to, of example is, have you ever heard of those crazy stories where like someone's under like a car and they like a woman lifts the car up to save her son? Like, mm-hmm. It's real life. And there's the difference between what you could do on a day to day versus like what your actual max is. So I guarantee you, you're definitely strong. You can lift more than that. Not to mention, those are good lifts. Like, yeah. Those are good. How many months have you been really focusing on lifting heavy with your squat and deadlift?
Not long. So, I mean, I'm doing, because I did like this Olympic weightlifting course since last April, basically. So like, I'm doing the lifts, but I never really like got that heavy. I think I did it now like twice or three times, and that's it.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah. Essentially, you're a newbie. You're completely new with all this. So considering that, that's insane. That's really strong. Like, you've lifted that heavy twice? That's crazy. I mean, guarantee you do. You test again in 4 weeks, which you shouldn't do, by the way. Like, you're following a good program. You don't. This is a really important concept. There's a mm-hmm. very important difference between testing and building.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people... And when I say a lot of people, that includes my prior, stupider, younger self. When people get into strength training, they love it because one of the reasons is because they love lifting more and more weight, and they can see it's objective. You put more weight on the bar or you don't. And yeah. It is addicting when you put more weight on the bar and you're like, I'm getting stronger literally every time I come to the gym. And it's very enticing, and it's also very stupid to try and do that very often, especially as you get stronger, stronger, stronger. The testing is when you test your strength, right?
It's
And realistically speaking, when I was at my peak in powerlifting, I would test my strength once every 6 months, and that was on competition. So 2 times a year, I would compete and I would test my strength with occasional like near max, but really only testing it truly 2 times a year. Most people, they test
all the time.
Twice a week, 3 times a week, every time they go to the gym, they're testing. And what that means is they're straining. They're going as hard as they can. They're like, veins are popping out of their face. They're like, that's not good training.
Mm-hmm.
That's testing that you do very rarely. The other is building. Building is sub-maximal weights. Building is where you get stronger. It's difficult, but you don't sacrifice technique for it. You don't lift your max weight. It's a little bit higher reps. Focus on good tempo, mm-hmm. really focusing on slow and progressive overload, which might mean you might use the same weight for 4 weeks after a certain point, right? So the way that I structure, and you've seen this in the inner circle, one of the reasons that week to week the reps often go down, or like weeks 1 to 2 are a certain rep range and weeks 3 to 4 are a little bit lower, is because it allows you to lift a heavier weight, right? So that's my way of progressive overload, very slowly and progressively. So most people test, you need to focus on building. You should be building 90% of the time, testing maybe 10%, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I mean, you follow the Unicorn Strong Challenge. I mean, the Unicorn Strong Challenge is more than enough. I guarantee you and I talk, if you and I talk at the end of the Unicorn Strong Challenge, which I'd be happy to do, if you and I talk in 90 days, and we remember your deadlift is about 130 and your bench is about 125, I would bet you a whole year in the inner circle. Swear to God. I will bet you a whole year in the inner circle that your deadlift will at the very least be 185.
185?
185. That's 50 pounds in 3 months. And I bet your squat will be at least 150. That's another 25 pounds or so.
Wow.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I'm so confident. I'll bet you an entire year in the inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get on a call in 3 months and check where you are, which means you do not test it between now and then. You just build. Follow the instructions. You just build. Lift progressively more, progressively more. I am going to go so far as to say, I bet when you deadlift 185, you're going to be like, wow, I could have done more. I swear. So, and again, I could be wrong. I've been wrong. But I'm very confident that that's what's going to happen when you do it properly like that. And one of the reasons that I think most people don't ever experience stuff like that is because they don't stick with one program for 3 months. They jump, yeah. jump, program, hop all over the place. You stick with this and then the inner circle programs, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and as you do that, and as you continue to improve your technique in the Olympic lifts, and as you continue to focus on that, I mean, the best Olympic lifters in the world, they're unbelievably strong. I mean, their squats and deadlifts are outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the power lifts display your strength, right? They display your maximum mm-hmm. strength. The Olympic lifts display your speed and explosivity, power, technique. And when you combine the two, I mean, that's true athleticism. And I don't think anyone in their right mind would say powerlifters are more athletic than Olympic lifters. Olympic lifters are way more athletic than powerlifters just by nature of the sport. But you don't see any weak Olympic lifters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. You don't see any good Olympic lifters that are weak.
Yeah.
Right? You do see good powerlifters that are not very explosive, right?
Yeah.
Ideally, if they're very good powerlifters, they're training explosivity as well. But I mean, there are many powerlifters who just, they don't train explosivity because it's not as important. I mean, mm-hmm. I would argue it is very important, but that's semantics. Either way, Olympic lifters have to be strong and powerful.
Yeah. That's also what like a trainer of mine said, that like for me, it's really important just to build strength at the moment. And then basically the Olympic lifts, like with the technique, it will come more naturally to also lift more weight.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Think about it like this. Let's look at the snatch, right? Or you know, we'll look at the clean.
Mm-hmm.
The first part of the clean is essentially a deadlift, right?
Yeah.
So if you can deadlift 200 pounds, and then you're inherently limited how much you can clean by how much you can deadlift. If you can only deadlift 200 pounds, then the amount you can clean is always less than that. You can't clean more than you can deadlift. If you can deadlift 400 pounds, now when you pick up that barbell, clean, it feels like nothing. This mm-hmm. is why strength is the foundation of power. Strength is the foundation of everything. If you don't have strength, there's only so much power. There's only so much force you can produce. Mm-hmm. What is power, right? Power is how quickly you can produce force, right? Yeah. So if the total amount of force that you can produce is only 200 pounds, it doesn't matter how quick you go because you can only produce 200 pounds of force. If you can produce 500 pounds of force, maybe you can't produce 500 pounds of force in a second, but maybe you can produce 400 pounds of force in a mm-hmm. second. Now your clean comes right off the floor, flies up. That's how you get from a good Olympic lifter to a great Olympic lifter is combination of practicing technique and getting strong as hell.
Yeah. So what would you recommend then? Because right now I also have like a training program for my Olympic lifts. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I should like follow this program, but also now the Unicorn Strong comes like making me stronger in like the powerlifting thing. So I find it hard to combine because already my Olympic weightlifting program takes me like an hour or so to do it. And I can take like, I don't know, the front squat out and then do like some leg exercises from the Unicorn Strong Challenge. But I find it really hard to combine these two.
Is the Olympic weightlifting program strength-based or more technique-based?
I think it's more technique-based. Like it has a lot of volume in it and repetition of the lifts. So
lightweight, not necessarily higher, but lightweight technique focus, reps, 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 just get this down.
Exactly, yeah.
How many days a week is it?
So my program is 3 or 4 days a week. I can choose whether I do the fourth day or not. And then that being said, like, I think I never in my entire life have finished a program. So like, I'm doing like this bodybuilding stuff, and I had like all these 12-week programs, and I think I haven't finished any of them. I got my Olympic weightlifting program. It's a 10-week program. I got it in October, and right now I'm in week 9 or so. Because, you know, I'm doing it and then I'm like, oh, I'm not progressing. I should go back to week 4 and then do it all again. So, yeah.
So it's here's what I want you to do. I would like you to do, you can choose if you want to do the 3 or the 4 day a week Unicorn Strong program. It doesn't matter to me which one you do. I'm going to tell you how to individualize it. The most important are the lower body exercises.
Yeah.
You don't, for your goal specifically, you don't need to get better at bench press. It just doesn't, it's not part of the Olympic program, right? So I would say, if let's say you're doing the 4 day a week program, right? Now you only have 2 in terms of the 2 lower body days, because it's lower, upper. So if you choose the 4 day a week, which I think is probably the better bet, you now only have to do 2 of those days. And I would say the most important of those days are the first 3 exercises.
Okay.
So what you can do is, if you'd like, you can do the first 3 exercises before your Olympic program, which I think would probably add about 20 to 25 minutes to your workout. Or on another day, you could just do those 3. What I don't want you to do is add those 3 exercises to the end of the Olympic program.
Because
there's so much volume and you're tired, you're fatigued, you can't produce as much force. I want you to be fresh for your strength work. Strength comes first. Right? So one of the things that people really screw up is like, they'll like, should I do cardio before or after weightlifting? It's like, if you're really focused on your strength and technique, you do cardio after, because you don't want to tire yourself out before you go in and do your heavy lifting. So I don't want you to tire yourself out before you do the heavy lift. So I would say do the 2 lower body days on Unicorn Strong Challenge, and either before your Olympic work or other days that you're not doing anything else.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's a plan.
It's super simple. And it, 185 on deadlift and 150 on squats in 3 months.
So how much is 185 in kilos? So with the plates I have at home, I can only, I can go up to 80 kilos.
Okay.
I don't think I can.
185 in kilos is 84. 84 kilos.
You're so like, in case it's still in case we're still in lockdown, I can't even test it much. Because
so,
I was like,
well, if you can get 80 kilos, we'll call it even. We'll call it there, right? Yeah. So, because if you, and I mean, it's a good problem to buy, have to buy more weight. I got to buy more weights because I'm getting so damn strong, right? You know, that's perfect.
Wow. So I went into this call and I was like, okay, maybe a goal is like body weight something, because I'm not even there yet. So like, that is just an insane goal in my head.
I love it. That's perfect. Yeah. And now when you hit body weight, you're going to be like, this is awesome. And you're going to keep going. It's great. Like, it's when I made the goal of deadlifting 4 times my body weight when I was 18 years old. And there's only like less than 10 people in the world, to my knowledge, who've done that. Right. It's like, that's an insane goal. It's outrageous, but insane goals make life more fun. Right. And usually if you don't get it, if you don't reach your insane goal, you probably reach some really cool goals on the right, on the, along the way. Right. It's like, might as well have some pretty damn crazy goals if we're going to live a good life, put all your effort into it. And then even if you don't hit it, you probably did pretty damn well for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So 150 in kilos is 68.
Okay.
Bye-bye, 2.2. Is, yeah, that's 68. So squat 68, deadlift 80. 3 months, and then watch your Olympic lifts are going to be your coach is going to be like, what is going on? What is happening here? How are you getting so damn strong? You're going to be like, unicorn strong. Let's go.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Great.
It's so funny. Before we got on this call, I had just finished a live workout with the Inner Circle, and it was my second workout of the day. And it wasn't like that draining, but like I was tired. Now I'm so hyped up. This conversation has amped me up so much. I'm so excited for you. This next 3 months are going to be very transformative, and I cannot wait. So what you have to promise me is that you're going to email Kat, and you're, number one, you're going to keep me updated. But I want to schedule a time to talk with you now. So it's in the calendar. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to look at the calendar 3 months from now. What's today? April 26th, April, May, June, July, July 26th, somewhere between July 26th and July 30th, you and I getting on the phone and we're talking about what happened. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
You promise.
Yeah, I promise.
And again, if it doesn't happen, which I think it will, you get a free year in the Inner Circle. So I mean, there's that, but I'm very confident that's going to happen, and I cannot wait to see your progress.
Yeah. Amazing.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Again, I'll stay on here for hours. I'm hyped up right now. This is great.
Well, I had a small question. So because like, I mean, usually I do like my Olympic weightlifting and I play soccer, and now with like this whole Corona thing, I don't play soccer at all anymore, because for me, it's more of a recreational thing and like something you do in a team. And I don't really want to like go outside by myself with the ball and like practice.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, because you're also doing jiu-jitsu, and if you're like still like training for that, or if you're like, okay, I'm just going to focus on something completely else and then it will just come naturally after.
That's a wonderful question. And it was, I had a sort of like a sit down conversation with myself about it. I'm devastated that I can't do jiu-jitsu right now. I was so into it, and it was just like, I looked forward to it every day. I was just sort of like what I'm assuming often Olympic lifting might be like for you, like you get really excited about it. Looking forward to the workouts. Like often when I first started deadlifting, as soon as I was done deadlifting, I couldn't wait to get back to the gym deadlifting for the next workout, whatever it was going to be. That's what jiu-jitsu was like for me. I'm just, so it sucks, but it is what it is. When all this first started happening, I thought, and I even said publicly, that I was going to do a lot of mobility work and neck strength work for jiu-jitsu. I've been good about mobility. I've actually been good with cardio. I've been doing a ton of jump rope, and that's specifically for jiu-jitsu, also for health. But I haven't done as much neck strength, which is realistically very stupid because it doesn't take that long. So I've sort of been, in Hebrew we say chetzi chetzi. I've sort of been like half in, half out, right?
Yeah.
I haven't been doing it. Not as much as I could be. For soccer, you could be doing foot drills. You could be doing like different agility drills, whatever. But for the most part, I've been focused on other goals. I've been actually focusing a lot on muscle building. I have two 50-pound dumbbells. They go up to me, and I've been having amazing workouts. I had the 300 push-ups a day challenge, which went really well. That was super fun. Now I have another goal of getting 100 push-ups in 100 seconds. Basically, the way I'm trying to get through this is just to have really freaking crazy goals and just like do stuff that pushes me mentally. So I'm not focusing on jiu-jitsu right now. I can't wait until I can get back to it. But right now it's much more muscle focused and some cardio as well.
Yeah, because for me, it was also like, I wasn't really exciting about, you know, doing these drills by myself, you know, but then I was like, if I don't do nothing, I'm going to lose a lot of the skills. And at least there I can do like suboptimal training, but I wasn't really feeling it. And then, you know, like just focusing on my strength at home seemed like so much more fun. But then, yeah, it's basically a trade-off, because if I'm stuck here, I don't know when I can like do team sports again, maybe September or October, then, you know, like most of the skills that I built over the past year, because they're also just a beginning, is a beginner, is just going to be gone. And that's a bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm with you. It was interesting. Like my jiu-jitsu gym and many jiu-jitsu gyms are doing essentially what a lot of fitness coaches are doing. They're doing live classes. The difference is with fitness, you can work out by yourself.
Yeah.
With jiu-jitsu, you can't do
you have your dummy, right?
Yeah, I have my dummy, which is great. But basically, I decided I didn't cancel my membership. I very much support them. So I kept the membership because I want to keep supporting them. But I decided I was basically going to take a break from trying to improve my jiu-jitsu, because I also knew you're inherently limited just by not being able to do it on somebody else and having that there. So I was like, listen, rather than half-ass it, I'm just gonna basically stop. Mm-hmm. Go more towards something, another goal I have, muscle gain, push-ups, whatever, which has been great for my motivation and for my health and everything. It's actually been interesting. I've been more consistent with strength training lately, basically doing something every day than I have been in years. Like, it's just been amazing. I've been waking up at like 6-7 in the morning, working out first thing. But jiu-jitsu is obviously, I'll lose a lot of the skills, but they'll come back as soon as we start.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the same thing for soccer.
Yeah, I think so too. Cool.
Do you call it soccer or football?
Well, the Dutch or German translation would translate into football.
Got it. How do you say it in Dutch or German?
So in Dutch you actually say football, and in German you say Fußball.
Fußball. So, got it. Okay. I love it. Amazing. This was such a blessing. I'm so glad that I got to hop on with you. This was tremendous. I'm very excited for, I'm going to look at my inbox, make sure you email Kat and schedule something for like July 26th to July 30th in that range, and keep me updated. Keep me posted. I want to hear how you're doing. If you have any questions, let me know. But I'm really excited and I really appreciate you. I'm very impressed with you and that's it. I'm just stoked. So thank you so much for this wonderful call.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. Also, what I wanted to get off my chest is I'm so happy. I think you're like one of the rare like fitness influencers or whatever that are actually, you know, like reasonable people. You know, you're not like, oh, everyone has to live their best life now or like let it all slack and don't do anything. So I really like your sort of middle ground.
Thank
you. That's, you know, like picking challenges and stuff.
Thank you so much. Seriously, thank you. Have a wonderful night, okay?
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you would like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com. We have a brand new program coming out within the next few days. It's called Kick COVID in the D-I-C-K. Saying that just in case you got the kids in the car. It's a 30-day challenge, a new workout every single day. And Inner Circle members, just like all of my products manuals, get this for free. You can join www.sfinnercircle.com for the next 30-day bodyweight workout challenge called Kick COVID in the D-I-C-K. Talk to you soon.